Hello and welcome to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast. Each week, we talk about different college admissions topics and answer those tough questions you may be dealing with concerning getting into the college of your choice. We know how difficult this process can be, so each week, we try and make it easier to navigate. Now, here's your host, Anna Wren and Mark Huffer.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Coast College Admissions Chat with your hosts, Anna Wren and
Mark Huffer.
We're super excited to be here this week, and we're going to be talking about the importance of meeting face-to-face in college admissions. So, you know, like Mark and I have often talked about, college is at least 4 years. So if you think about it, you're going to spend and live 4 years of your life somewhere, so you really want to make sure you just don't pick it out of a book or off a list of rankings, because they won't tell you if you'll be happy there. And we honestly believe that, you know, when you meet people face-to-face and also go to a campus for in-campus visits, that that is a great way to try the shoe on and see if it fits.
Yeah, Anna, I think one of the things that I think students forget is, much like meeting a person, you can talk to them on Skype or you can even talk to them on the phone, and you only get part of who they are about. And I think colleges are just like that. I mean, how many students have you known or worked with, and you hear them talk about going to a school that they haven't visited, and then in their first year, they find out that there isn't a great place to get a, you know, grilled cheese sandwich on campus, and that was really important to them. That's one of those things that are outliers that you can only find when you visit the school. You can't find them on a website.
Absolutely. Like, one of the things I tell my kids when they go visit Georgetown, which is my alma mater, I always tell them, hey, make sure you go in the springtime because you'll see the Grilling Society, and they make the best burgers you will ever have. So little things like that that you won't know until you get there. Or like I was telling you, you know, sometimes we talk about, I have some students in Asia and they don't really know the geography of the U.S. as well. And, you know, when they tell me they like warm weather, but then they're picking schools in, like, Western Massachusetts, we have to have a little chit-chat about what that means.
I think much like when we talked about on the other podcast about niceness, it's a really hard thing to basically define. But I think culture and the feel of a campus is a really important part of establishing that, you know, four-year long-term relationship. And I think, much like school fit, it's one of those things that it's kind of like a unicorn. A lot of students don't feel it until they're actually there on the campus. Yeah, they know it when they see it.
That's a really good point you bring up. And I often tell my students, you know, when you go on campus, it's not that I want you to be a stalker or anything, but, you know, sit yourself either on the lawn or like the student activity center or even like the library or a student coffee shop, and just sit down and kind of listen and take in everything around you. Are these the kinds of conversations that you'd want to be having, for example? Or is this the kind of environment that you'd want to be a part of and that you would be happy being in?
Right. I think that you don't know it until you're in it, one of those situations. And I think, you know, there are many more schools that are making Skype tours available to students, and you can actually take a 360-degree video tour on their websites, and you get to see the campus. But that's only one metric. I think that actually hearing and smelling where you're going to live, that's the priceless part.
I think you're absolutely right, because there's companies, like I know like Unigo is like one of those companies where you can see pictures of the school and you can hear from students their own experience. But I think it's completely different when you step foot on campus, and like some schools have so much like school spirit that I had a student who was just kind of didn't even know that that's something that was something she wanted, but she stepped on like a school with a big state school. And I guess it must have been during like some kind of game or something, and she just kind of got swept into it and was like, okay, now I really know I want a school with like a lot of school spirit. And, you know, it's hard to know if that's something that you want and what that kind of feels like to be part of that community until you're really there.
You bring up a really good point about, you know, visiting a campus and the time that you visit the campus. I know one of the things, I often visit campuses during the summer just because of, you know, it fits with schedule. And I know that happens with a lot of students as well. But it's a very different environment when you visit you know, during the main school year versus summer. Is there a particular time that you have your students kind of target their school visits?
So I typically recommend that students visit during their spring break, because usually a high school spring break doesn't overlap with a college's spring break, because usually I feel like colleges take spring break around March, and then high schools usually take it around Easter, and April is typically the case, so that they can still, without kind of ruining their schedule, they can still check out campuses when school's in session and really get a feel for it.
I totally agree. I think those are the times that I kind of I point out to students that is available to them, and is probably the best chance to see a school campus in its glory, I guess, in its normal state. One of the things that students ask me, they say, "Well, you know, is a campus visit really that important?" And I think, especially now when we realize that how much is involved with making this four-year commitment, that I kind of tell them about the rule that it's called the 7% rule, and that communication is only 7% verbal and 93% nonverbal. Now, if you kind of think about that as a rule of how you're going to evaluate a school, you know, if you're not face-to-face with a school, you're missing out on so much of that evaluation that's that's part of the body language of the school, if it were.
That's absolutely true. I really like that 7% rule that you have. And I would say even for students that, you know, can't get to a campus, they could still take advantage of meeting campus, admissions at like local college fairs too. And even that's another opportunity to get a feel for the school and kind of that whole face-to-face if they really can't get on campus. What other suggestions do you have for students that don't feel like they can take a real visit?
Well, one of the interesting parts is there are a number of opportunities available to students who we all know that visiting a school can be expensive, and that's not always available to all students. However, there's a number of programs that are coming available that different campuses participate in. A lot of colleges, they have partnered with something that's usually called, it's called the fly-in programs. And there are a number of colleges that know how important it is that a student comes to their campus and actually spends a little bit of time, and usually overnight, and gets to visit and see what classes are like and speak with students and faculty. And those fly-in programs are becoming much more popular, and I've really been identifying those opportunities for students.
That's wonderful. And in many cases, sometimes it's free, right, Mark?
Absolutely. The schools know that they make scholarships available for those students who really can't afford to fly and come see their school. The biggest part is you have to apply early, so you have to find out. There are a couple of different websites you can check into. One of them is called collegegreenlight.com. So it's collegegreenlight.com. And if you visit that, they have a list of schools that are participating in the programs and then in the fly-in programs. And then you basically identify those that are on your school list that are best fit. And then you have to apply to each school individually. But a lot of times there are scholarships available. And the only big thing, the really big thing, is that you make sure you apply and know deadlines and apply early.
I agree. I feel like that's always the rule when it comes to college, whether it be applications or financial aid or any other opportunities. The goal is to know the specifics, know the deadlines and the dates, and try to apply as soon as possible.
So when you visit when you go to a campus, there are certain things I tell students that I suggest that they look at. But I realize that a lot of those things are the same things that when I do a college visit and I tour and I meet with admissions representatives, that there are certain things I look for. What are the things that are on your top list when you step onto a campus? What do you look for?
One of the things I look for is I try to figure out how many students stay on campus. So while I would like to think that many universities are where the majority of the population stays on campus through the weekends, there are obviously certain schools that are what we call commuter schools. And I really think, especially for the first year of college, students should stay on campus, and that, you know, having a very vibrant community life really can add to the college experience. So one of the things I look for is how active are students. And so I try to look for the different flyers about the different activities that are going on and the different clubs. And, you know, really try to get a feel for what the culture is like, you know, what kind of, so I know some schools, the students will set up little tables or demonstrations. So, and I think that really helps us to hone in on, well, what do students here care about? So those are some of the things I look at to kind of get a feel for, well, are those the same things that I care about? Are there things that I want to explore? So those are some of the things that I look at, is I really think, you know, having a very vibrant campus life is important for students. The other thing I look at is resources. So what kind of resources do they have out there to help students succeed? You know, as you know, freshman year is what we call a transition year. You know, it's all new for them. They're in a new place. They're at a new level of education. So what kind of resources does the school offer to really help with that transition? Do they have certain hours set up in the library or writing workshops? I know some schools like Seton Hall even have a special freshman program where they mentor freshmen. And, you know, it's like a semester course, and it really kind of teaches them kind of the study skills of being a college student, and kind of gets them settled in not only academically but socially as well. How about you, Mark? What do you look at?
Well, and I'm glad I asked you that question. It's always fun to ask you what you look for in this process, because I always learn something new myself. And I think you are exactly right. Some of those things are very important, not only to students, but I think when we talk with parents, they also like to know what kind of an environment that their children are going to be part of. And when I visit a campus, I have to make sure that I take as many notes as possible, because even on the things that might not be important to me, might be important to another, you know, a student. So some of the things that I personally look for, I like to see if there's I consider a campus is more healthy if it's got good bike shops in the area, if it's got a good place to get chocolate. Those things I kind of put on the list with a campus health. So, but one of the things that I really like to see that usually you're not going to hear much about are things like transportation and the support of the surrounding community. So I was just recently down in Berkeley, and in visiting the Berkeley campus, you have Bay Area Transit, BART, which is an extraordinary opportunity to get in and out of a bigger city that's close by, to great cultural events. And it's right there. I mean, you step off campus and you're basically able to get right into town. There's also a great gelato stand real close to the BART entrance. I might put that up. But those kind of things, and I'm much like you, I like to kind of feel what's important to this campus and the student body. And I think you find that out by posters that are around. And what are students talking about? Are they politically active? Are they more interested in sports? And you can tell that, like you say, if there are posters around and students have booths up and that's what they're talking about, you can tell a lot about the culture really quick.
That's true. I was actually, like, for example, I know some schools have like a prominent Greek life even. Feel like that becomes very noticeable also when you step onto certain campuses as well. So little things like that to try to figure out, well, what kind of is the culture of the school? Because I had a student, and you know, sometimes they go and they visit a school thinking that they're not going to like it, but then it surprises them, or vice versa. They're like, oh, I know this is my number one school. And then as soon as they visit it, they're like, oh, not so much. And for example, I had a student who had really liked or thought they would like Boston College. And I think Boston College is a great school. But it was the oddest thing, seeing across in every classroom actually kind of turn them off a little bit. And they hadn't even considered that a factor before or thought about that. But it, like, that little thing, they're like, I, and they were Christian too, and it doesn't matter either way, but they just didn't really feel as comfortable. And so just that one little thing turned them off to that school. And then I told them, well, you know, a lot of the Catholic schools are probably going to have that though. So I'll just tell you right up front. But little things, have you ever had any students who were kind of surprised, or maybe you yourself were, based on descriptions you've read and then visiting the schools in person?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's one of, much like you, I kind of have to smile when you hear some of the things that students come back from a visit and what they say, either pro or con, about visiting the school that they, in their mind, had every intention of going to. And I think that really is that 7% verbal and 93% nonverbal rule again, in that some of the things that you are turned off by or that really make you excited are things that you aren't even considering. So until you're there and until you're talking to people and walking around campus, one of my favorites was I had a student who showed up to college on the West Coast. And when she was on the walking tour, she found out that it took 25 minutes to walk from one end of the campus to the other. And she knew she was going to have classes in both sides. And there was no way she was going to walk 25 minutes.
I think that's a fair point. It kind of reminds me, my husband and I were talking about, he's like, why do you guys just get such short periods before between switching classes? And I was like, yeah, sometimes that's the case. And I remember even when I went to school, and I hadn't even thought about that when I was visiting schools as a high schooler myself. And once I got to college, I really learned what it meant. Like, I swear, I got into the best shape of my life. Because I would run from one end of the campus to the other, because I had one of those professors that would, like, you know, you have to be on time because he'll shut and lock the door. And if you're in, you're in. But if you're not, if you're late, you're out. So and there was no excuse. So yeah. I learned very quickly. But that is a great point you bring up, you know, even little things like that. How quickly can you go from one or to the other? Or I have certain students who, they want to be able to find internship opportunities and have it be a really good environment to do that. So even within a city, I think you can find different schools with different campus environments as well. And so it's really up to you to determine, for example, like NYU, the city is your campus, right? But then some students, they still want that green. And, you know, Columbia does have kind of more green space, but the same thing when I was in DC as well. So I feel like until you get there and kind of get a feel for, well, even setting, it can be a little hard to, other than just saying, oh, I want to be in a city. Because even being in a city, there's different kinds of campuses.
Yeah, and you bring the green space, that's actually one of those things that where students who say that they know it's really important that they have some kind of a natural setting. And, you know, when they hear about schools that are in large cities, say like New York, and they don't realize how much green space is available, but you have to find it. You have to know where it is. And until you see it, your idea of New York City is skyscrapers and, you know, streets and bustle. You were asking about things that, and I just remembered this. I had, I was on a tour, and it was with, of course, a student who, the person leading the tour was somebody who was a junior at the school. Mm. And I asked her, I said, what brought you to this campus? I mean, why did you go to school here? Which I'm constantly asking. And she said, I'll tell you in a second. And I thought that was really strange. And so we're walking, about 10 more minutes later, she comes over to me and she says, here, stop. And I stop. And she said, you smell that? And I said, oh, yeah. And you could smell a bakery and you could smell the cinnamon rolls that were coming on board. And she said, when I was taking my tour, I smelled that. And I said, I have to go here. And I went, wow, that's one reason to go to school.
Absolutely. That's so funny. But you know, for some, maybe that's like a really comforting kind of smell, right? You never know what's going to feel like home.
That was exactly the reason she said. She said she knew that it was going to be a stressful time for her. She's very into the sciences and knew it was going to be a heavy load. But she said for some reason, she knew that if she was able to just kind of walk through that smell every once in a while, it would kind of bring her grounded.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's so exciting to hear about. Or like, we talk about sometimes, like I had read in a book that, you know, there was a student who really loved to ski. And so the consultant had thought about it and really wanted to find him some places where he could. And his parents weren't quite on board at first, but then the counselor explained that, you know, if he's happy there, you know, and he still gets to do what he wants, he's going to work hard. He's going to work his butt off so that he can stay there. Because, you know, they want to hold on to something where, you know, they are happy. I know even my brother's school, they have a tradition where classes get canceled on the first snowfall and the kids all go skiing. Isn't that funny?
Well, on Smith campus, I know at Smith, there's actually the president of the school identifies one day. Nobody knows when it is. And I think they call it Mountain Day. And classes are canceled and they take off. And they head up into up for a nature day.
But that's wonderful, you know, and I think that also speaks to the culture of the school as well. You know, I think each school has its own unique, and also I would say each school has its own unique traditions as well. Like, for example, certain places you don't, you know, you don't touch a certain thing or you don't walk past a certain thing. I think even those are really interesting to learn about when you go on campus.
I think you're exactly right. I think those cultural parts that make a school and make it a community are probably the most important things that you get from a tour, being face-to-face with a school, that you can't get any other way. You can talk to people and you can read about them, but actually being there and getting a feel, literally, for the school is so important now.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, people are concerned about costs, but I think there are ways to maximize campus trips in that, you know, you can always try to visit a few schools in the same area and kind of knock them out of the way so that it doesn't have to be that you're spending a lot of money or time to just visit one or two schools. Because I feel like depending on the area of the country you go to, it is possible to squeeze in like five or six schools in one long weekend.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that even puts more weight on identifying the things that are most important to you and identifying what schools serve you and your goals and what your hopes are for the future, identifying those schools that are the best fit so that when you are visiting schools, you're not just visiting them because somebody else told you to, but you do know that they're going to be a fit academically and that they're going to serve your needs. And then when you go and visit, then it's more about culture, and it's identifying how the school feels so that you make the absolute most out of that weekend. And like you say, if you're visiting 3 to 5 schools in a couple of days, you want to make sure that you're getting the most out of them. One of the other points about that, because school visits are being exercised by many more students, schools are having to accommodate many more tours. But it's really important that if you know you're going to be visiting some schools in an area, definitely check to see if you have to sign up for a tour and what kind of tours are available, especially if it's an overnight tour. Those things are all pretty tightly scheduled now.
That's a great point that you bring up. And I would also recommend that students use their own email address for signing up for the information sessions and campus tours because, you know, and try to use the same email address that you're going to use for applying for college, because sometimes that does translate into demonstrated interest, which we'll have to talk about on a future podcast. But that's another suggestion I would say as well.
Exactly. Schools actually keep track of who came on a tour, and that is actually part of the evaluation part of your application, in that they want to make sure that you put out the effort to show them the love and that you had actually made an effort to come visit.
And if I remember correctly from when we had heard from admissions folks, visiting campus is one of the highest compliments you can show for a school, exactly, in demonstrating interest. And the other thing I would also say is, in addition to campus tours and info sessions, I know some schools also offer on-campus interviews too that you can also schedule while you're visiting.
Really good point. And that's an invaluable opportunity for you to put a spotlight on your soft skills and your personality and responsibility and maturity. And much like we put in niceness, if you have a chance to go in and give somebody a good handshake and have a good, valuable conversation to show them what you're about and why the school is important to you, those are invaluable in your application evaluation.
And I've even had a student who wasn't sure if he was going to apply for a school, but still did the interview. And when he walked out of the interview, he sent me a note and he's like, I definitely want to apply to this school now.
Nice.
And yeah, because he learned so much about the school and he had had such a good conversation with admissions. So, you know, it's an opportunity both ways.
Oh, for sure. I think that's one of the things that students get caught in the trap of, thinking that colleges are evaluating them every step of the way. And while that's true in the application process, when you visit a school, this is their chance. I mean, you are basically evaluating them. It's their job interview. So if you take it from that perspective, it's your chance to evaluate them as well.
Great point. And I guess before we wrap things up, what are some top tips you have for students?
Oh, yeah.
Visiting colleges.
When they visit colleges, I think the biggest things that they can do are talk to other students, because they will both tell them the good, the bad, the ugly, and the wonderful about their school, and they generally won't pull any punches, and that's the best source of information because they're living it. And then the other thing is, think about the things that you wouldn't see on a website. Things like we talked about. It could be transportation in the way that the surrounding community supports the college, or it might even be what's on the menu and availability of food items, including grilled cheese and chocolate.
What a great point you make. I've had students ask me before, you know, how is the food at your school? And one of the things I do recommend is eating at the cafeteria. I don't know that any cafeteria serves a great meal, but, you know, depending on the school's policies, you might have to eat there at least one semester or a full year when you first start. So, you know, just definitely make sure that, you know, it's tolerable for you. And if it's not, maybe talk to your parents about, you know, finding out if there's a way for you to do some cooking or finding other food options in the local area. But in addition to that, I, you know, similar to you, I recommend students take notes, and I usually give them a worksheet to fill out so that they can really, you know, in addition to the intangibles and, you know, getting a feel for everything, but really being able to also identify, well, what do they specifically like or dislike about a school? And because sometimes I think when you're there, you know, it's all with you, but then when you go home, you can't remember exactly. And one of the benefits of taking a trip is that you can mention parts of it in your essay potentially, or in other parts of admissions, but more specifically for you, so that you can really identify, well, these are the solid points that I really liked about the school. And, you know, as you go throughout the process, you can still have kind of that objectivity.
Agreed. Notes and pictures. Invaluable.
Yes. Pictures. And it's easy now because we all have cell phones.
Exactly. Easy to do.
Well, thank you so much, Mark, for joining us. I'm so glad we do this every week. And we would like to thank you guys, the listeners, as well. And if you guys have any questions, you know, drop them on our website, and hopefully we will get to them in future podcast sessions.
All right. Thank you, Anna.
Thanks, Mark. Have a great week, guys.
Bye now.
Thanks for listening to the Coast to Coast College Admissions Podcast, where we make getting into college easy and fun. Don't forget to go over to iTunes and subscribe to get updated each week when we release a new episode. Also, for more helpful college admissions information, visit our website at www.c2ccollegepodcast.com.